unconditional love. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have unconditional love for you, neighbor. Unless you don't like them, then just kind of murmur from. Yeah. If you don't like your neighbor, you can just murmur something. You don't have to say unconditional love. 2,000 years ago, I can think and I can try to imagine this moment to see Jesus, everything that he went through, his last week of life, Passion Week. Preaching, teaching, eating with his disciples, washing people's feet, stinky toes, the whole nine yards. Getting arrested, whipped, tortured, being put in a cave, wrapped up, nice and snugly. I can imagine what's going through everybody's head. For the religious people, man, they were so excited. Jesus is dead. The religious people, think about that, religious people, people who taught the first five books of the Bible, they were excited. Jesus is dead. We don't have to deal with this guy anymore. He didn't look like us. He didn't sound like us. He didn't hang out with the same people. They didn't like him. They were excited. But there was 12 people called his disciples, and there was a number of people who were broken. Because they lived with Jesus for 3 years. And they saw Jesus be so kind and gracious. Miracle after miracle after miracle. So many things that they lived and they saw. And then all of a sudden, everything that they thought in this man, he was dead. But 3 days later, we know that he rose back to life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a powerful moment. That is what we celebrate 4 weeks from today on not Easter Sunday, but Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday, the first Sunday in April that we celebrate one of the most. We know that Jesus coming to this earth was powerful. We know that Jesus resurrecting from death to life, powerful. And as powerful as the resurrection is, it sounds good. It sounds powerful for any one of us. If we were to die, if we were to be laid in a cave or in the ground, and 3 days later we were given life, God breathing life back into us and coming back to life, that's a powerful thing to think about. It's a powerful thing. But it's crazy to me that as powerful as the resurrection is, there had to be pain before there was power. There had to be pain before there was power. We all want the resurrection because we all want the testimony. We all want the miracles. But Jesus went through pain so that he could provide a miracle for every one of us. Jesus went through sorrow. Jesus went through sacrifice. Jesus went through serving. Jesus went through being arrested and giving himself fully so that every one of us could see the miracle and what he gave. Matthew 7:13 says this: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is big, broad. Its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is very difficult, and only a few ever found it. I like what Luke says, Luke 13:24. Work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom, for many will try, and many will fail. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if we were just to take the words of Jesus, Jesus said he is truth, he is the way, and he is the only way. Notice he didn't say there are many ways to get to heaven. Notice how he didn't say there are many gods and they're all going to lead you to heaven. Notice how Jesus did not say there are many religions and it doesn't matter which one, just pick one, you're going to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and I'm the life. And no one will come to the Father except through me. But as there's truth, how many of us know there sure are a lot of lies? And the lie is, live however you want to live. Live and do whatever makes you feel good. Live and be whatever kind of religion you want to be. You want to make up your own religion? Make up your own religion. It's okay. Jesus said there's a narrow road that leads to heaven, but there's a broad road that leads to hell. And many people, unfortunately, are traveling down that road to hell because they don't realize where they're headed. There's a narrow, small path that leads to heaven, but there's a big one, a big path that's full of people that's heading to hell. Heading to hell. Why? Because so many of us, every single day, we believe what a lie. We believe in a lie. We've believed in many lies. And instead of seeing what the truth really is. Who is the truth? We know the truth is. Simply, the truth is Jesus Christ. The resurrection is a powerful moment, but what led to the resurrection? It's the pain. It's the sacrifice. Everything that he went through that brought us to that miraculous moment. Many of us in life, you see, it's a journey. We all know that life's a journey. From the moment we're born, as we're growing up, and we're experiencing life, it's exciting, and it's awesome, and it's amazing, and it's curious, and we're traveling the world, and we want to get into all kinds of trouble, and we want to do so many different things. So many different things. But sometimes through the journey, many of us, unfortunately, we end up on that path without realizing is that we bought into a life of lies, which is leading us to a dark place. Many people in a dark place in their mind and a dark place in their heart because they bought into something that wasn't true. There's only two roads. There's only two roads. The road that leads to heaven and the road that leads to hell. Every single day, that road, that choice. Just like when God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, God said, listen, I set before you blessing and cursing. You can do right, and I'm going to bless you for it, or you could do wrong, and you're going to get cursed by doing wrong. I set before you life and death. He sets before us heaven and hell. Always notice there's only two options, heaven and hell, life and death, blessing or cursing. It's God's way, God's rules. This morning, if any one of us, we pull out of here and we decide, I'm going to drive 100 miles an hour up Sanderson. Maybe I go Ramona Expressway. I'm going to do 120 on Ramona Expressway. If our friends in black and white see you and decide, you know what, this person is driving a little too fast. And they pull you over and you say to them, you know what, it's my way, it's my road, I can do what I want. I'm not sure if your argument and your feelings are going to win with a cop who has been given authority to tell you how you should drive and how fast you should drive. See, many, that's how we're living life sometimes. We're speeding because we think it's our rules and our way. When the creator of heaven and earth, his name is God, Elohim, has already set the rules and the foundation in place. And every single person in this place, if you choose speeding, you're choosing death. If you choose to make your own decisions and your own religion, and I'm going to take this part of the Bible and I'm going to forget the rest, you are riding on a dangerous line. Thank God this morning that we have a God who gives us unconditional love every single day. And the hardest thing about this unconditional love is all of us have been programmed to the opposite. We grow up with conditional love. Our parents doing the best that they can. Us as parents doing the best that we can. But unfortunately, sometimes we are trained and wired to only understand conditional kind of love. What you give me. How you make me feel, if you give me gifts, if you do this for me, do this, then I understand love. God's unconditional love is not based on what we do. It's always based on his love simply for every single one of us, for every mistake, for every rule that we break, for every single sin that we commit, for every time we say words that really hurt God, when we say things about God's sons and daughters. If we have kids in here this morning, and a few of us do, have you ever heard another person talk about one of your kids? And you could be the sweetest, kindest person in the whole wide world, but someone talks about your kids, you have a machete just waiting for them. It's amazing how when us as parents or us as friends, sometimes when you're in a friend group and you got a real chummy, wonderful friend group, someone talks about one of your friends, you're ready to go toe-to-toe because you're talking about friends. You talk about my kids, I'm going to kill you. I don't get why sometimes God's kids, God's children, we think it's okay to have the green light to talk about God's other kids, his sons and daughters. It's amazing to me why we think it's okay. We've been so trained and so conditioned, having a conditional kind of love, that we miss the unconditional love of God. So our theme for the month as we lead into Resurrection Sunday is unconditional love. As we've moved from real love, knowing that the only source of real love is what? Jesus. Moving in to understand and see his unconditional love that he gives every single day. With that, we open with our opening scripture, Matthew 3, starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He's a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him." John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey, which we're going to serve you this morning. People from Jerusalem, from all over Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people, coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed. See, we don't have to cuss people out. Just call them a brood of snakes. That's what John the Baptist did. You don't got to cuss and call people names. Just say, "You are a brood of snakes." He exclaimed, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins, you turn to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe because we're descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown in the fire." It sounds like a great time. "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who's greater than me, greater than I am. So much greater, I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. He will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat in the barn and burning the chaff with never-ending fire." And so this morning, as we start our theme, unconditional love, I want to start with a guy, because really unconditional love is, just like real love was, also unconditional love is everything that Jesus is. But I wanted to start this morning, before we really get into unconditional love, with a man who was called, a man who was born to live a life to prepare, live a life of preparation, to live a life of a warning signal. All of us in here this morning, we're not that old. We didn't live through, maybe, I hope not, the Great Depression, you know, but we know that back in the day there was this thing called the Great Depression. There was hardly any food. Food was scarce. Many of us in here, the biggest thing that we remember in life is probably COVID, right? And COVID changed school. COVID changed work. COVID changed life. COVID changed the stores with toilet paper and water. What were people doing? They were preparing for life, preparing to try and save their life by getting enough toilet paper and water, because those are two vital things we all need every day, water and toilet paper. This man, John the Baptist, who lived a life preparing, making a way so that unconditional love could come here. What was he doing? Well, glad you asked. He was a basic man. He had a message. What was the message that he shared with every single person? Listen, stop being selfish. Turn away from being selfish, self-centered, and start chasing and living a life for God. He was simple. He was basic. He actually said, repent of your sins, which means to turn from living this way and turn and start living this way and turn to God. What would he do? How did he live? What did he eat? We know that he lived a very special life. He ate locusts and honey. He wore camel's hair with a leather belt. Very stylish. Everything that he did, it spoke something. There was a basic, there was simplicity, but the biggest thing about John's life, simple message, simple clothes, simple meal, but his humility. Thousands of people came to see John the Baptist. John the Baptist will always be remembered, man who was later beheaded. His preaching the truth led to him being beheaded because he told someone that they were a sinner going to hell because of the marriage that they were partaking in. John died a horrific death. But at the end of his preaching, what did he say? I'm not worthy to carry the shoes of the person who's coming. I'm not worthy to be his slave. The humility. Think about thousands of people coming out to hear his message. Thousands of people being baptized. Thousands of people loving and soaking in every single thing that he had to say. He was preparing the way for the person who carried, the carrier of unconditional love. And he said, listen, when this guy gets here, I'm going to completely back out of the way because I only want you to see this. I only want you to see the man who's coming. I only want you to hear his story and see his life because he's going to have unconditional love and fire and power, all these things. But he said, I'm simply just a person who's here to prepare the way because I want you to be ready. Because I want you to see it. I want you to see the unconditional love. John the Baptist was a prophet who was called to prepare hearts to receive Jesus Christ. We know that in 4 weeks, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that the resurrection after Jesus resurrected from the dead, we know that he traveled around. He ate with his disciples. He talked with people. But one of the things that he said, he says, listen, I'm leaving. After he rose, but I'm coming back a second time. I'm coming back a second time. So there was only one man who was called to prepare the way in the moment for Jesus to share his unconditional love story. But 2,000 years later, God has called many, not just one, many of us to live a life also of preparation. To prepare hearts to receive the story, this unconditional love story of God. It's amazing. It's crazy. God called one man to prepare the hearts then. But he's calling who this morning? He's calling us. You know how to prepare for disaster. I don't know if you're around Y2K, but I'll never forget how Y2K, everyone was terrified in 1999. When that clock turns 2000, the world is coming to an end. Kim and I went to Knott's Berry Farm. We were going on roller coasters, but people were telling us we're stupid because you're going to be on a roller coaster and it's going to stop and you're going to die. Man, we were screaming, having fun, and you know what happened? When the clock ticked 12 and it went to 2000, we still made it. We're still alive. But you know what people did? They spent millions of dollars preparing themselves because the world's coming to an end. They bought beans and rice and Jesus Christ. They bought pasta. They got water. They filled it in tubs and gallons. Why is it we get so scared and we prepare ourselves for disaster when the very first thing that I read this morning is what? There's a narrow road that leads to heaven and there's a big road that leads to hell. But how many people with that same passion live life for the disaster that's coming? There is a disaster coming. It's called hell. Some people choose to live hell on earth. Some lucky people who give their life to follow Jesus get a taste of heaven on earth. But there is a disaster and a judgment coming. It is called hell. And are we fully prepared for that moment? Are we fully prepared for the day when we die? Are we fully prepared to stand before God? Because you know what God said? Jesus said some pretty harsh things. He said, listen, if you get angry, you are going to be in big trouble when you get to heaven. If you say any idle words, if you say anything that is idle, has no meaning, like cuss words, if you have a bad mouth and a temper, you are in trouble. Jesus said some very harsh, specific things, and it seems like sometimes his believers, so-called believers, don't take him really serious. Man, but when Y2K happens, world's coming to an end, and the computer system's going to crash, and we're all going to be dead. What do? Well, let's all run out to Walmart. Let's go run the store. We freak out. Have we freaked out enough about what's coming next? There are so many things that are happening in the Middle East right now that have been predicted in the Bible thousands of years ago. It's unfolding in our faces. That should be enough for us to take this story a little more seriously. John the Baptist called to prepare the way, the unconditional love story of God. He's called his children to be a John the Baptist, to prepare the way, because second coming of Jesus Christ, where he judges the earth, where it's it. When Jesus comes back a second time, there ain't going to be no begging and pleading. You know, if you're a parent, you have kids sometimes and they do something they shouldn't do. And then they cry and forgive me, I'll never do it again. How many of us have ever had a kid that has pleaded with their heart and soul, forgive me, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And sometimes parents, see, they're crying. They really mean it this time. I don't want to sound harsh, but you know what? The day comes when Jesus comes back, there's not going to be any more begging and pleading. It's done and over with. The day you die, it's done and over with. And have we enough been prepared for what happens next? Have we been prepared for the life that is coming, the judgment that is coming? God is going to judge the earth. It's his rules and his way. Just like the cops who make it and they enforce it. We can try and argue all day long. There's only so far you're going to get with a cop. Right? Most of us in here, if you've ever tried to argue or debate a cop, typically, it usually ends up with a ticket for sure. Now notice sometimes, if you're nice, and I don't know if it's ever happened to you, if you're nice and you say, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention, sometimes they have mercy. Isn't it funny how the two different results, you can try and argue and debate because you broke the rules, and most of the time they're going to slap you with a ticket. Or if you humbly say, man, I screwed up, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't pay attention. What happens then? Then we're grace and mercy. Most of us, some of us sometimes, we're trying to argue and debate the rules of God instead of just saying, God, forgive me, I broke your rules, and continue to try to do my best. John the Baptist, he prepared hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back again. And it looks like he's coming back soon. And that soon could be in a week. That soon could be in 2 months. And I wonder if my heart, your heart, our hearts are ready for that day when he does come. Have I fully lived preparing my life and those around us in our life and our houses and our friends and our families for the second coming? John the Baptist was such a powerful person. His message, and this is something I want you to remember for the end, he had a very clear, simple message of truth. Very clear, very simple, the message of truth. And with that, we're going to jump into our next text, which is John chapter 6, 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got on the boats and they went across to Capernaum to look for him. Verse 25. They found him on the other side of the lake and said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me? You only want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only way, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread that came from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, well, give us that bread every day. Every day. Jesus replied, I am that bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It's kind of crazy. This moment here in time, it happens just after Jesus fed 12,000 people, we know, with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. After few loaves, few small fish, feeding 12,000 people, there even was leftovers. Some of us in here, we are leftover kings and queens, and other of us, it's, if it's leftover, it's going in the trash, right? Jesus, this miraculous food, a feeding 12,000 people, few loaves, few fish. And you know what happened? It said everybody was full. How many of us have ever been hungry, so hungry, and just waiting for that moment where you can go, I'm now full. The tummy's reset. Life is good. 12,000 people were full on a very small portion. Jesus, later on that day, after feeding 12,000 people, he walked on water. He had a pretty full day. Fed 12,000 people, walked on water. The next day, people were looking for him. And why were people looking for him? They were looking for him because they saw so many different miracles. And you know what they wanted to see? When's the next miracle? When's the next good thing that's going to happen? You know, the people in this day, we know that they wanted a savior. But you know why they wanted a savior? It says they wanted a savior because they wanted someone to free them, one, from the power of Rome, because they were Jesus' day. He was there in a day where Rome controlled Jerusalem. We know Caesar, right? Back in this day. So one, they wanted a savior. Someone, please come and save me because I don't like being a slave to Rome. They also wanted a savior to heal their bodies from sickness. They also wanted a savior to free themselves from hard labor. There was three things that people wanted Jesus or a savior for. Free from Rome, free from sickness, and free from hard work. I don't know about you, but many of us, how many of us still get sick? How many of us still have to work hard? And how many of us still, there's kind of a government who's kind of in charge out there, right? We're still dealing with the same thing they did 2,000 years ago. We still have some of the same feelings. But Jesus, he didn't come to free people from the power of Rome, just like he didn't come to free us from the power of the government. But how many people spend hours bashing the government, right? Jesus, he does want to heal these bodies and make them strong, but sometimes people, all they want to do is talk about healing. I need to be healed. 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 They're not talking about Jesus. What did Jesus say to them? They said, listen, he says, you're only coming to me because I fed you and you saw a miracle. He says, stop chasing food and start chasing me. Stop chasing what you see and start chasing the truth. These people, they were a group of miracle chasers. When's the next miracle? When's the next thing? It's so, that's what I love about the Christian church. We go through waves and there's so many ups and downs and we do all these different things where there's the next hot word, the next big band where we're all chasing. Where am I going to feel the tingles? You know, can I go to church and feel the tingly as a God and feel his presence and I get goosebumps? Where am I going to church? Where can I go to church where I'm going to get healed? Where can I go to church where money and gold's going to float from the heavens? back then, 2,000 years ago, people were chasing all the wrong things because they weren't chasing God at all. You had the religious people who were lost, and you even had these people who were lost. They were chasing the wrong things, signs, wonders. God, what can you do for me? Can you hear their words? What can you do for me? What can you do for me? What does that sound like? Someone who's been trained and wired to live a conditional, selfish life. Just like many of us in here, if we were all 100% honest, there are days where we're more selfish than others. There are days where we're more conditional than others. But that should be to us. That should be to us a symbol and reflection of this is how we're born. But thank God he sent someone to free us from this selfishness. These people also said to him, we want a power like you. We want to be able to do things that you do. We want to do everything that you're doing, Jesus. There's one thing that I love that Jesus said in this. Two things, actually. He said, listen, I want you to focus on this one for the one thing. He said, listen, believe in me. Believe in me. What did they ask Jesus? They said, Jesus, we want to do what you're doing. Is that a bad thing? No. But what's in our nature sometimes? Sometimes in our nature, we get stuck in doing things, and we're missing the point. Jesus said, I want you to do one thing. Believe in me. The second thing that he said is what? I'm the bread from heaven that came down. I'm the bread. And if you believe in me, and if you follow me, you'll never be hungry, never be thirsty. That right there, that would solve the great diet crisis. Because how many people are on this diet crisis? Jesus said, if you come to me, if you follow me and believe in me, you're never going to be hungry, never going to be thirsty again. That right there solves the world's issues. One of the biggest issues in our world today, people who don't want to eat, people who don't want to overeat, people who are afraid. Jesus said, listen, I'm here to solve your crisis. But follow me and believe in me. Follow me and believe in me. Follow me and believe in me. There is something about that name Jesus, as there was 2,000 years ago. There still is something about that name. You know, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, people who believe in me, people who follow me, it's actually going to cause hate. It's going to cause division. People are going to get upset. People are going to get angry. He said it's going to turn family members against each other. It's going to turn friends against each other. Because the message of God, we accept it or we ignore it. As we wrap up this morning, our closing text is about a man and Jesus having a conversation late at night. It's a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. 4, well, what do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Verse 7, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from, where it's going. So you can't explain how people who are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you're a respected Jewish teacher, and you don't understand these things? Verse 11. I assure you, we tell you what we know and we've seen, yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And so as we pause right there, such a beautiful and fun story of Jesus having a conversation with someone. The guy comes to Jesus late at night. He's afraid what other people think. He's afraid that his friends, he's afraid of people in his company, the Pharisees, his group, his boys. He's afraid to be busted. He's afraid of them, right? So he comes to Jesus late at night and he says, Rabbi, we know that God has sent you. We know that God has sent you. I like how he just makes one statement and then what Jesus say. I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't ask Jesus a question. He didn't ask Jesus anything. There was no questions. But Jesus automatically spit out something that the man wanted to know, what the man needed to hear. And the thing he said is, unless you're born again, you will never, ever see the kingdom of God. And so this morning, remember, we started the theme called unconditional love. And so we see that in God's unconditional love, as we pull all of our story and all the text together, number one, because of his unconditional love, he sent a man to prepare the way for Jesus to come in the flesh and teach the truth. Because of his unconditional love, he sent his son Jesus, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. Because of his unconditional love, he gives us the opportunity, all of us, to be born again. Because of God's unconditional love, he sent a prophet to prepare the way. Because of the unconditional love, he sent the Lamb of God, Jesus, to take away the sins of the world. Because of his unconditional love, he gives us the opportunity to become born again. And if you aren't born again, what happens? You will never see the kingdom of God. Now, would it be my fault if I don't ever become born again and I don't ever see the kingdom of God? Whose fault is that? It's my fault. If you don't ever become born again and you don't ever see the kingdom of heaven, whose fault is it? It's your fault. Being born again. When you think about being born, and Nicodemus, you got to love his mind, he's thinking to himself in such a weird, crazy picture, well, how am I going to climb back into my mother's stomach and be born again? Right? You got to love the guy. And he's thinking, what is Jesus talking about being born again? How am I going to be born a second time? I'm tall, right? We don't know if he was wide, thin. We have no idea. Maybe he was short. But no matter, I don't think any of us want to see any one of us adults trying to climb back into our mother's womb and to be born a second time. Gross, right? Crazy. But we know that the life, there's a life being lived, and it's the life that we see. But we also know that there's another life that's being lived, and it's a spiritual life that we can't see. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, but you're never going to get or see that life unless you become born again. Jesus said, if you're a sin, you're a slave to sin. He said, if you know the truth will set you free. If you don't ask God, Jesus, to come in your life, to say, I'm sorry, God, forgive me, and I choose to give my life to you. That's when being born again happens. When you choose to completely follow after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, listen, if you don't become born again, you'll never, ever see the kingdom of God. And so we start unconditional love today because we see God had to send a person to prepare the way for people to hear the truth. Then God, in his unconditional love, he sent the truth, which was Jesus, the Lamb of God, who's perfect, blameless, to take away every one of our sins. And then because of his unconditional love, it made a way for us to have the opportunity to say, God, forgive me. Jesus, the Lamb of God, made it possible for every one of us to say, God, forgive me. God, help me. God, I follow you. And there's a decision that has to be made. Many of us have probably made that decision and said, God, I follow you. But I think sometimes it's a little bit different decision than what we thought or knew or heard. See, when Jesus came to this earth, He was walking by some fishermen and he said, hey, come follow me. And I'm going to show you a different kind of life and way to live. The moment the disciples, Simon, Peter, James, John, all these guys decided, yes, I follow you. In following, it wasn't just in verbiage, but it was in the action that they said, I now accept everything, Jesus, that you're about to tell me to be 100% fact and true as my own. And in that moment of choosing to follow, these men became born again. The 3 years Jesus was here, you see, some of them started to see the kingdom of God. But there was a lot of people who didn't see the kingdom because they weren't born again. They couldn't see Jesus. The religious, they couldn't see Jesus because of their hate. Do any one of us in here this morning have a problem with hate? Some of the religious people, they were full of anger and jealousy, and they couldn't see Jesus and become born again because they had so much anger and jealousy. It clouded the vision, and so they couldn't become born again. There was people who were sinners. Man, these were people who were bad people. And some of them, they only wanted God and Jesus for what he could give them. But they didn't want Jesus for what they could give back to Jesus. And that's the most important part of this story, because see, it's God's unconditional love that sent John to prepare the way. It's God's unconditional love that sent the Lamb of God, Jesus, to give us the opportunity to be born again. But lastly, number four, it's his unconditional love that he picked me and he picked you. He picked us to be part of this unconditional love story. And it really matters what you do with it. It really matters what you do with this unconditional love story. Do you notice that in the Bible, there's a lot of imperfect people? But God picked them and what? Gave them a job to do. We get so focused on our imperfections sometimes that it distracts us from the job he gave us all to do. Notice there's murderers. There's all kinds of weird people God picked to do. Good thing we could say, how could God use a guy or a girl like that? They're horrible. They're dark. They're dirty. But when God looks at a person, he doesn't see the darkness. When God looks at a person, he doesn't see the sin. When God looks at a person, he doesn't see the gross past and all the bad mistakes. God looks at the present moment and says, man, you have so much potential. If you could just pick up your cross and follow me. It's the unconditional best part of the love story. God picks you. God picks me. The best part. You're not here to sit. You're not here to watch, to listen. We're not here on this planet to warm the bench. The best part of the story is you are one of his main events. You're one of his main speakers to be part of the unconditional love, the love story of God coming to this earth. And what better time, April, March, is we got 4 weeks to Resurrection Sunday to share his unconditional love story. It's a great time of year. It's a great time for us to step up and say, God, this week, give me one person to share the story with. God, the week after, give me one person. Help me to be, use me to be a witness. Even though I don't have all the words, even though I'm not fancy, even though I don't have all the fleshy degrees, even though I don't have any of this, God, use me to help someone this week share your unconditional love story. God's called us. He's called you. He's called me. He's called us in this great story to share his unconditional love. Let's pray.